for joining us for another episode of Lid Radio Podcasts. I'm Francesca and I'll be your host for today. Now for this podcast we have a very special guest with us, Sarah Duncan. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
So Sarah Duncan is a business development consultant and trainer. So she's been in business for over 30 years and set up her own consultancy, Sleeping Lion, since 2005. She has watched with interest as sustainability has forced its way onto the agenda, and now she provides advice and workshops on ethical and responsible behaviour. In her book, The Ethical Business Book, Sarah provides us with the direction to help society and the planet whilst preserving the bottom line and making your business highly commercial. It's a digestible, relatable and practical guide that includes tools to adopt a more ethical business approach to your business and your life. So Sarah, I mean, the main idea behind your book is quite clear, that businesses need to become more ethical but still need to maintain the profits. So starting from the beginning, for anyone listening and wants to adopt a more ethical and sustainable business practice, I mean, where can they start?
Yes, thank you. So I think the first thing is to understand the principle of the new triple bottom line. This encourages companies to view success not just in terms of healthy profit, the traditional bottom line, but also in terms of how the organisation helps preserve a healthy society and a healthy planet, hence the triple, that's people, planet and profits.
Right.
But although I think most people would now accept that businesses have responsibilities beyond simply making money, there are still some chief financial officers and members of the C-suite who would probably prefer to ignore this. So I think it's really important at the very start to make both the ethical and the financial or commercial case to changing behaviour. Everyone needs to fully buy into the benefits associated with adopting sustainable and more ethical practices.
Sure. I mean, what are those benefits though? What can we see?
Well, there are many. First of all, resonating with more mindful consumers. That's customers who are increasingly trying to be more considerate and thoughtful with their purchasing.
Yeah.
Also attracting and retaining better talent. There's definitely a growing desire from people to work for better businesses, particularly millennials and Gen Z, who really care about the societal and the environmental stuff. I think also there's forging stronger relationships with partners, suppliers and other stakeholders. Good business tends to keep good company.
Sure.
But there's also perhaps some less obvious benefits, like, for example, actually helping to reduce long-term costs. If you do a full energy and waste review, chances are you're going to cut out some inefficiencies.
Yeah.
Then there's also managing risk. By doing the right things now, you can get ahead of and steal a march, if you like, on future legislation. And then finally, there's the bit that's really exciting to me, which is greatly improve your marketing. And that's
sure.
Your external marketing, but also your internal comms. So I think once everyone's 100% on board with the positives, then you can start properly analysing your business, starting with the crucial questions. Are we doing more harm than good to society?
Yeah.
Are we doing more harm than good to the planet? And then what can we do about that?
Sure. Yeah. What's the next step?
Exactly.
I mean, just listening to what you're saying, when you hear the word ethical, often people already, they jump on sort of the planet part. And it's really interesting in your book that you go into so many other areas and sort of talking about the triple bottom line. It's not just the planet, it's actually making sure that your business is still profitable and caring about the people that are in it and also the people outside of it that you're servicing.
Exactly.
And so I think it's really important that maybe that's one of the common pitfalls that we find, is that people are only concentrating on the planet maybe. But I wanted to ask you what you think maybe some common pitfalls are that businesses need to be mindful of when it comes to being more ethical and sustainable. Maybe it is that they need to be aware of all three.
I think they need to be aware of all three. But for me, probably the biggest pitfall is people not being fully committed.
Okay.
And doing this as a simple kind of tick box exercise.
Yeah.
So I think with the likes of Greta Thunberg, Extinction Rebellion and War on Plastics, all these things hitting the headlines this year. There's no doubt that it's firmly on the agenda, but for me, this is something that should not be seen as a knee-jerk exercise to somehow bolt onto the business.
Yeah.
It needs to be properly built in, and it needs to be central to a company's definition of success, really, and embedded into its culture. And this is where I think purpose comes in.
Okay.
I know it's a term that's being used a lot at the moment, but essentially it's that thing that means establishing a reason for your company's existence beyond just the products you make or the services you provide. It's that something that gives greater meaning. And it's kind of like asking, how do we want to change the world for the better and be commercially successful at the same time?
Sure, yeah.
Which I think is absolutely possible. Having said that, if this is not completely genuine and authentic, then the chances are it's not going to have the desired effect for the planet, for society, or for your business. So, yeah, this should not be done as some kind of quick win to achieve some kind of short-term financial goal, because the impact is likely to be also short-lived.
Sure. And I mean, you've mentioned it briefly as well, but I wanted to go into, there are many times when we talk about sustainability, most people might not know what it actually means. We've talked about the triple bottom line, and actually there are so many other parts to it. And one example is sort of carbon footprints, which can be really key, especially in business. I mean, can you help us understand a bit better what it is and what businesses do about it?
Sure. So essentially a carbon footprint is the amount of carbon dioxide released into the atmosphere as a result of the activities of a particular individual, organisation or community. Carbon dioxide absorbs and traps heat. The more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the warmer the planet gets.
Sure.
And it's this man-made climate change that is now causing great harm to the planet. Mm. Now, the good news is that there are a number of carbon footprint calculators now aimed at individuals at home and also for companies. So it's never actually been easier to get a handle on this and create plans to reduce and even reverse the negative impact of your activities, which, just broadly speaking, fall into energy provision and management, water conservation, waste management, that's the whole reduce, reuse, recycle.
Sure, okay.
And supply chain scrutiny and management.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting because obviously CO2 has been, I mean, in the news a lot. And obviously with Greta, she didn't take that flight to win that award. I mean, it's been one of those things that's been around quite heavily. But did you have, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot. Do you have an example of where you can calculate your carbon footprint and places that people can go?
Sure. One of the places that has had one available for a while is the Carbon Trust.
Okay.
There are a number of them. And possibly we can, I don't know, put something on the website or some notes attached to this. But certainly a good starting point is the Carbon Trust.
Okay, brilliant. We'll have a look. I mean, another term that we would desperately need some help with from you is conscious consumerism. And I mean, I've seen so many brands bringing out sort of conscious lines and renewable. I mean, H&M and Zara have been like really at the forefront of that. I mean, but what is it and why can it have a negative impact on someone's business?
Yeah, so on one hand, conscious consumerism promotes environmentally friendly ways of making products and tackling overconsumption and waste. But it also asks questions of companies in terms of societal issues, such as pay equality and humane working practices.
Yeah.
So conscious consumers want to use their individual actions to influence global impact. Now, at best, they will simply avoid brands that are perceived as being unethical, but at worst, they will now actively boycott them, or boycott, yes, as it's now being referred to. This kind of conscious consumer action is being actively promoted via social media, along with the public shaming of unethical brand behaviour. So I guess as conscious consumerism increases, which I believe it will, those companies that fall short on ethical business behaviour will lose more and more customers, ultimately killing the business. And I guess that is the true commercial definition of unsustainable,
yeah,
because then your business won't exist.
Sure. No, it makes sense. And I think there's such a more of a demand now, people taking it into their own hands by little, taking their own actions to try and make a difference, I guess, and influence the powers
that
be. No, it's quite an exciting time. And another really interesting topic you talk about in the book is sort of the principle of paying it forward. I know you've already got involved with this in terms of your selling books and paying it forward as well, but what does that mean on a wider scale?
Yeah, I am actually really keen on this area. What I'm saying about this is, if a company really wants to put their money where their mouth is, then they can or should be considering their non-paying customers, which may well involve giving away products or services for free. I first saw this pay it forward principle in Authentic Marketing, a book by Larry Weber. And it recommends asking the question, who in the world would most benefit from our products, services, but actually can't afford them?
Yeah.
And then, can we factor that into our business model? So a great example of this takes the old promotional tool of Bog Off,
yeah,
okay, which is buy one, get one free, and changes it to buy one, give one free.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so this is actually being successfully used already by a number of fantastic, innovative and thoughtful businesses that you probably have heard of. Mindful Chef?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so they have their One Feeds Two programme, which means for every meal kit you purchase, they donate a school meal to a child in poverty.
See, that's lovely.
Yeah. You've also got Hey Girls, which is a great organisation. They essentially tackle period poverty in the UK by giving away a free box of sanitary products to women and girls in need for every box that's purchased.
Sure.
So, I mean, obviously not all organisations can commit fully to a buy one, give one free. But if that doesn't work for your business, then you can at least look at a buy one, give something approach. Another initiative that you may or may not be aware of is Pledge 1%.
I've heard of it, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was originally pioneered by Salesforce, I think. And this is where companies pledge on an annual basis to give 1% of equity, 1% of profits, 1% of product, and or 1% of employee time to worthy causes.
Oh yes, we had this at one of my first companies.
Yeah, so all of these, essentially, this whole idea of paying it forward is to consider what your business can give in terms of product, time, profit to the people who really need it most.
Mm.
And this can become part of your company ethos, which can then, I believe, really resonate with customers and become really powerful marketing stories.
Definitely. I mean, if you look at the success of like Tom's Shoes,
yeah,
that kind of is like the perfect example. If you feel like you're doing good, you're far more likely to buy with that company than anywhere else.
And that's another example that's actually in the book.
There you are. It's like I've read it.
I know.
I mean, we're talking about marketing, and this is kind of the way forward in order for companies not to sort of fall behind and not be sustainable in both senses. So what are sort of your new marketing rules that you talk about?
I think the headline here is again, I mentioned it earlier, but you really need to be genuine and completely authentic. So greenwashing, i.e. making people believe that your company is doing more to protect the environment and society than it really is sadly really widespread. And from what I'm seeing, it's not going down well with customers or employees. So as I say a lot in the book, you don't have to be perfect to be ethical, but you absolutely need to be honest. I think false marketing claims will eventually be exposed, and the all-important trust that you've built up with stakeholders will be completely lost. So true ethical marketing requires complete transparency, really. You need to be proud of your positive actions, but also acknowledge and be completely honest about the areas that you need to work on. Then tell people exactly what you plan to do, how you plan to do it, and when you plan to do it. I think the main thing is, it's really important that companies show what they are doing and they don't just talk about it. And then they need to provide tangible data to back up their actions.
Definitely. I mean, it's quite a vulnerable thing, though, to sort of bear the business at the front and saying, these are the areas that we need to improve on, and this is what we're going to do about it. I guess for me, that seems like quite a scary step for a business, but
I think it is, but it takes away that fear of hypocrisy, which is in and around this topic at the moment. I think the more genuine and transparent you are, the more you will engage with your customers, your stakeholders, your employees, because they get to really buy into the story and the greater meaning of your organisation.
Yeah, and I guess that links back to the purpose again.
Absolutely. It's all about wanting to do something that is bigger, as I said, than just the products or the services that you offer.
I mean, we've spoken about the book, but speaking more about you and sort of this ethical journey that you've been on, I mean, you focus in the book on small changes that people can make in order to make a big difference. So where did you start on this, and what were the small changes you started with in order to start making this difference and being more ethical?
That's a really good question. I have learned so much from doing the book. I started off very much focused on business, and if I'm being honest, the kind of commercial benefits of companies understanding this change in the market and change in the behaviour of people, their customers and their employees particularly. But obviously now it's impacted my life and how I behave. But I also realise how challenging it is. So I haven't suddenly become a militant Extinction Rebellion vegan. I am making changes that work and are sustainable for my life. So I am cutting down on the meat that I eat. I am looking at where I get vegetables and other food products from. I'm looking at palm oil content in ingredients lists in the supermarket. I'm questioning everything I buy in terms of clothing. I now probably buy a fraction of what I used to buy. I reuse, I upcycle, I just have more of a consciousness around my purchasing and I think, and my behaviour. And I think it's this shift that is happening elsewhere. It's not just me who's written a book. I think these are the types of behavioural changes that a lot of people are making. And it's that collective group of actions that hopefully will lead to significant change.
And I guess it's also forcing us to slow down. Like before, it was fast fashion, fast food, picking things up on the way home. No one would sort of stop and actually ask where things were coming from. And I think, yeah, it's that, it is that consciousness and actually taking the time to be like, what, even buying my dinner, what impact will this have? And so it's also about the pace, I think.
It's
about
being more mindful. Planning is a big thing. It's also, we're also just coming up to Christmas. Now, that's the time of year when, wow, we could all really use being a bit more mindful and a bit more conscious about what we're buying, why we're buying it, and what's going to happen to it on Boxing Day after and afterwards. So I would really encourage people to right now start with Christmas as a really good example of where you might be able to just rein it in a little bit, be a bit more thoughtful, be a bit more considerate to the impact that your consumerism is having on society and on the planet.
Yeah, definitely. I hadn't even thought of Christmas. Now you've reminded me, it is very close.
I don't want to be a, I don't want to be a sort of, you know, bar humbug at all. But you know, there's fantastic experiences. Christmas can be a fantastic time for great experiences, for giving experiences, for spending time together, for doing charitable things. It doesn't have to just be about tinsel and wrapping paper.
Sure. It is one of those times of year, though, that is associated with kind of gorging on everything, and actually that doesn't really fit in with the ethical message.
All in moderation.
All in moderation, exactly. No Christmas cards with glitter, etc. Well, to kind of move away from Christmas then, lastly, for anyone that's interested in knowing more from you and your work, where can they find you?
Thank you. The book actually originally grew out of a training programme that I'd created and had been working with around ethics and sustainability for a while. So I still offer those, and if people are interested in adopting new behaviours but don't know where to start, then A, they can read the book, but also they can take a look at ethicalbusinessblog.com, where I have lots of other kind of resources. Plus there's Sleeping Lion, which is my broader marketing and business development consultancy, and you can find more about that at sleepingliononline.com.
Brilliant. Well, thank you again so much for joining us today. And just to remind everyone, it's The Ethical Business Book by Sarah Duncan. And thank you all for listening. So don't forget to keep an eye on our social media channels. So it's at Lid Publishing on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And for more information about new books, experts and opinions, and of course more podcasts, they'll all be on there. So see you again on Lid Radio Podcast.